Sorry, but I got to untie. I got to breathe. If I could only be as cool as Nicole. A big shout out to Nicole, too, for covering here these 2 out of 3 weeks. That means a lot. And it's a pleasure to watch her grow as she continues to back me up. Because, you know, unfortunately, life happens. Even to us good-looking guys, it happens. Come on, guys, laugh. I've been dying here. I don't have anybody to talk about humorous, you know. Today's title, What is Your Hurry? I'm going to flip over here so you can get today's scripture. It's a little different from what was in the bulletin. Hard to believe it's been, well, it'll be 4 weeks Tuesday since that little issue happened with me, and I've been out of the pulpit for 3. And I told Carrie, I said, you know, it's killing me sitting. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I could go back to church just as a spectator. Once it gets in your blood, it's kind of like, oh boy. It'd be like Mary and Marty not being able to bake or cook or plant seeds. But I am blessed. I am blessed to be here, and I thank God for that. Today's title, though, What is Your Hurry? Now, I wanted to do this about 3 weeks ago, and it didn't happen. And before we start, this is what's been on my mind, and it's best just to get it off my chest now. Because I am learning why I bottle things up. True, it's not healthy. Get it out there. So I'm saying now, I'm not trying to step on any toes, but if I step on your toes, I'm stepping on them out of love, okay? Because trust me, I am no better than anybody else. I am the worst of the worst, other than what Jesus Christ did for me. A small town operator received a call each day for the correct time. One day she asked the caller why he phoned each day for the time. I have to know the exact time, he explained, so I can blow the town whistle right at noon. My goodness, the operator gasped. I always set my clock by your whistle. Remember them days when you could call and get the time? I don't know if it's still available now or not. Everybody just looks at their clock or their phone. Time. Time. Very important thing, is it not? Seems like we never have enough time, do we? Makes you wonder how they did it back in the old days. With no electrical appliances, going down the old hand washing machines. The days before microwaves. Ah, remember that. Yes. Yes. The day before all the good healthy stuff. Which that might be a good thing now. But time. Now, when we left off, and I know this has been a month ago, but we were starting to talk about John 15, talking about Christ being the vine and we are the branches. So I just want to do 15:1-4, and if you would please follow along. John 15:1-4, because we're talking about pruning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear the fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now we were looking at the beginning of the season of Lent as well as the word pruning. And perhaps we could say that they go hand in hand in a way, especially when it comes to one's spiritual walk with Christ. And if you and I were to be honest with ourselves, we all need some of the thorns and deadness pruned from our own lives at times to allow us to grow healthy, nurturing, in a spiritual way. True? In saying that, though, are you and I willing to take a step back, self-reflect, admit maybe there are some places in my life that I need to grow in? The action of growth, this action, might require me to ask God to prune some of that brush, some of that debris, those old thorns, out of my life in order for me to produce fruit. Now, when we think of fruit, Carrie's been on a kick for me buying blackberries. How many of us love blackberries? Oh yeah, especially the good ones. Or a fresh peach or a fresh strawberry that's just, when you put it in your mouth and it just explodes, the juices. And it's not under, right? It's just perfect, you know? No mushiness, it's just, So we can say we enjoy fresh produce, right? How about in our spiritual life, though? What are we producing? How fresh is it? Or is it something that we've been giving out for 25 years off the shelf? You ever get something stale? Ever find something in the back of your cupboard best used by, oh my goodness, it's 15 years ago. Are you willing to eat it? Yeah, maybe. I'm a sick man. But you know what I'm talking about. We like freshness. Isn't it cool when you go into the grocery store there in the produce section and you see the little sprinklers on, putting all that nice water on the fruit, makes it look appetizing. You know, there's your broccoli, there's your lettuce, you know, the little water beads. Ooh, yes, that encourages you. This is fresh. It makes you think, I'm buying that. Well, the same can be said for us. Think about that. What are you producing? Your fruit. To be fruitful for God and for the individuals I come into contact with in this journey of life. And I can think of my children, number one, my grandchildren. How about you guys? What am I producing? Is it some stale piece of bread? Stale bread isn't exactly that tasty, is it? Now, remember how we were talking about fresh homemade bread? Woo! Which I can't have. So somebody eat a piece for me this week, okay? In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." A future is a good thing, is it not? And especially if we take stock in knowing that God has planned our future. Instead of Jim, I got to tell you, Jim's future hasn't worked out that good when I'm at the helm. A lot of exits, a lot of back roads, a lot of wrong ways. God's word advises you and I to use our time wisely because he knows that there are many tangibles in this life that can distract us. And that is a key word, can distract us from what truly matters, even on a Sunday morning. This morning, let me ask you, how much focus do you and I have, as well as mankind, do we employ on the duration of time? That wonderful four-letter word, time. And I'm referring to the period of time during which something exists, lasts, or is in progress. So we could say Sunday mornings. It exists, it lasts, right now it is in progress. Shall I say the amount of time that we allow for God in our daily, weekly, monthly, yearly walk service in our life on this earth? Think about that. How much time do you allow God? Each day, each week, each month, throughout the year. Let me ask you this. What would your timesheet say if God was to look at each one of our commitments to our time allotted to God in a two-week pay period? How many of us get paid every 2 weeks? Usually that's the standard. So we all basically know our time that we work. But what if God was to look at our timesheets that we put in for him in a two-week pay period? Would he be getting cheated? Would we be getting any overtime? Only you can answer that. If we open up the books and take a hard look at our commitment in the relationship section, what classification of a Christian / follower / employee of Jesus Christ would you and I fall under? Now, are we full-timers, part-timers, temps, daily workers, or no-shows? Ooh, Everything about that? Be honest with yourself each day. If you turn to Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, what did that say? Understand who? Whose will? The Lord's. Not Jim Mambeck's. Not Jim Hartsock. Not Caleb Hartsock. But the Lord's. Could we all ask the question this morning, am I generous with my time that I set aside for God? Think about that. Are you generous or are you foolish with your time that you set aside each week for God? And let me add this, especially this time of year as we celebrate the Lent season as well as Holy Week, Easter, all this coming up, as I said earlier. We got a lot going on for the world of Christianity, do we not? This is our time to celebrate. And again, it's not because of the little Easter bunny, not because of those delicious little treats. It's because of that right there. That right there. And what was overcome. This morning, allow me to throw out some ideas, questions, better yet, some real-time observations when it comes to mankind being foolish, being generous, or cheap involving our time when it comes to God. Now, I have this friend. He's a new pastor. His name is Fred, who's assigned to a church. Now, this church, a very good church. Been there for a very long time. Good group of people. Fred really desires a heart for serving God. He has a heart for serving God, as well as the people of his church. And he is looking to make the most of this opportunity, serving his church as well as his God. Now, Fred is no dummy. Fred, along with some of his congregants, can see how evil the world is and is concerned about the souls in his church as well as the lost souls out there in the world, in the shadowy lost world. Fred has a heart for this. It is noticeably clear to Fred and some of his congregants that Satan seems hell-bent on working overtime to steal and lie as much as he can, to destroy as many souls and as many relationships in his existence that he can. Now, we're told in that in Scripture. Satan comes like a what? Like a lion. So Fred and most of his church know that. So they know what we're up against, what he's up against. Unfortunately, there is somewhat of a complex problem between Fred and some of the congregation members. A classic, but always a goodie, the struggle of time. Sunday morning time, to be exact. Fred can see how much opportunity for growth, both for individuals in this church as well as the church consisting as a whole, a family. It's this unit he's talking about where he preaches. This family, he can see it, he can taste it, he can smell it. They're on the verge of something great. Both entities growing in their walk with Christ as well as working together as a family to make their church an outpost for the lost and the weary. Think about the old John Wayne movies with the Indians and the cowboys? Fort Apache. Anybody remember Fort Apache? Loved that movie. Way out in the middle of nowhere, that fort served so many things out there. But a place you could take shelter in, find refuge in, find safety in. A fortress to take refuge in when needed for rest and comfort or protection, as well as an arsenal to rearm yourself, to regroup, to devise a spiritual war plan against Satan and his goons, the enemy. A church. A church. Fred loves a good fight because Fred has Jesus covering him on all sides. Flanks, point, he's got his six, he's all around him. Fred has faith. Fred believes. Fred has members in his church that believe, and they have the faith as well. So Fred is not alone in this. If you turn to Psalm 91, verses 1 to 8. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 8. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's and snare and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Now here lies the problems, my friend. Somewhere along the line, people in general, aka people of the church, have created a custom where time on Sunday morning has become such a hurried custom in many churches this day and age. Can it be said, could it be true, that man likes to put a label on almost everything in life involving time and commitments? Let's be honest, because we're so busy, we have to keep track of everything. Even our grandmas, Uber drivers. How many grandmas and grandpas got to run their grandkids here and there just to help out mom and dad? It's a full-time job. Trying to jam it all into one efficient Excel sheet or calendar on your desk or on your cell phone. Could it be true, my friends, when it comes to time and commitment or to anything in life, even when it comes to serving God, we seem to restrain our time. Think of handcuffs, if you would. We restrain our time involving one commitment to make more time for another event in our life. Kind of like robbing Peter to pay Paul. Do you understand what I'm saying? We short this so we can get over here to do this. And at the end of the day, neither one really gets our undivided attention. But we can say, hey, I was there. Just like church, hey, I was there. You can't say I wasn't. Brother Fred often ponders, whoever said that a church service or church in general should have this set time or that set time? For example, myself, let me set the record straight. Before my spiritual transition, we'll call it, from being a very pathetic Christian to Brother Jim, who really does care and is trying to walk a better life with Christ, I would have been in favor of a 30-minute complete service. That's include the singing and, hey, brother, how you doing? Meeting every 2 weeks. That'd even be more better. Think about that. A 30-minute church session includes everything every 2 weeks. Woo! Yes, my kind of church service. That would have been good enough to get my Jesus on, as they say now. And you know, the sad thing and pathetic part of me, I was that last guy in, first guy out. Anybody else can relate to that? That was a title I had, just walking in right when the bell's playing, and then phew, before Pastor Ron could even make it to the back, I'm out. And I am done for the week. But I got my Jesus on. Can't, you know, another check. You know how I love them checklist Christians. Check. 20 minutes seems to be the going rate for a pastor these days. At least that is what Fred has been told by the hurried group. Fred has been told more and more, time after time, after 20 minutes you lose people. You lose their interest. They get bored. Pastor Fred, you should be able to say what you need to say in that amount of time. So on Fred's behalf, allow me to ask this church, Number one, for whom is Fred working for? Who is Fred really working for? Hate to burst your bubble, but it's not you. It's not Fred's church. It's for God. For God. Number one. Now, the church congregation is right next, but for God. He has a duty to God. Now, another question. You ever think about how many people in Fred's congregation actually take the time to pray for Fred and, don't forget the and on this, his Sunday sermon? Ooh, what do you mean? You think this is easy? Now, I'm going to speak up for Fred on this one. You think this is easy? Steve, how many people think they could be a better coach than you throughout your career? And if they would have went up to you, or Jim Haney back there, they got no clue. They wouldn't know an X and O from an elephant running through the backfield. Think about that for a moment. Fred's congregation as a whole and as individuals, and I have no doubt some of them pray for the pastors, and I can say this for pastors, need your prayers, really do. But allow me to throw in the million-dollar question. Does Fred's people also pray for the weekly sermon? Well, I never thought of that, Brother Jim. People of the church asking God to work through Fred. That time is not an issue in the church's people's lives, especially on a Sunday morning. Now, what about this thought for the people of Fred's church? Maybe, just maybe, I'm the one who sits in a pew Sunday after Sunday complaining about the time. I am more interested in that stinking clock or watching my cell phone instead of actually listening to what is being preached. Whew. And trust me, I used to be a clock watcher. What if I started to pray and ask God to work in my life so I can devote this time to God on a Sunday morning and the message Pastor Fred is trying to preach and not worry about that boat ride that I'm going to take after Sunday service or that fried chicken waiting on me? I get it. I love fried chicken too. But let me ask you, what's more important? A couple of them fried chicken legs or breasts or hearing what God has to say? Maybe, just maybe, what might turn your life around that you can pass on to that kid, grandkid, that you've been praying for 20 years. Hey, Lord, give me patience and a desire to listen and take notes, to become a better member of the church so I can be a better witness and servant for you. Wow. To help remind me to bring my Bible to church functions, especially a Sunday morning, so I can follow along. To actually write down the scriptures that are put on a PowerPoint, so I can have a better idea of what is being said. Lord, put on my heart a conviction not to make me want to be rushed. Maybe, just maybe, I'm the one with the problem. Possibility. I don't know. What if Pastor Fred's church would start to ask for a conviction to pray for Pastor Fred's church and to start to ask for a conviction to pray for Pastor Fred a few nights out before Sunday morning, to pray for him in a sermon, like say start on a Thursday night. And even if you're praying, Lord, don't let Pastor Jim be so long-winded, let him come up with the right words. Hey, I'm cool with that. Give me the words, Lord, because here's the thing, as a pastor, you want them to be God's words. I don't want them to be Jim Manbeck's words. Now, Jim Manbeck humor might be included, but I want them to be God's words. How can I go wrong if it's coming from God? I'm going to start praying on a Thursday night for the pastor and his message. Maybe that it won't be boring. Maybe it's fruitful and God-honoring. To do some pruning in Pastor Fred and his message. But also myself, Lord. Cut away all the ugliness and deadness in myself. What if a few would pray that God help them arrive a little bit early at the church on a Sunday morning and to go somewhere in Fred's church and pray for Pastor Fred and the people of his church? Now, could you imagine that walking in and we got a little prayer group going on? And they're not only praying for Pastor Fred, but they're praying for the musicians. Dave, Lynn, wouldn't that be nice to have people praying for you on a Sunday morning? Praise team, wouldn't that be nice? Think about that instead of complaining. And I hear the complaints. Carrie, Nicole, Holly, Lori, Sue, Judy, Jack, I'm praying for you. And I'm sorry if I forget anybody. I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister. I want you to bring your best Sunday morning because you're praising God. So I'm going to do my best and pray for you. Wouldn't that be something? Instead, we take the easy way out. I hate that song. I don't like that song. Hate to bust your bubbles, guys. I hear it. And I understand. I have my favorite music, too. But it would hurt us to pray a little bit. I don't have a musical bone in my body, so I am very thankful for Lynn and Dave. I am. Because if we don't have them, who do we have? Thank God we got David up there. Praying for us. Getting here just a tad early so we can pray, so we can do our best. Our musicians, my friends, they need it too. Our Sunday school teachers need it too. Our youth group leaders need it too. There's no magic pill you take before for any service or any youth group meeting. I don't know, Jen, unless you got one. My friends, Fred told me he knows that he is far from perfect. Not a particularly good pastor when it comes right down to it. But Pastor Fred has a calling from God. Pastor Fred loves his church and he loves his people. And out of the whole crew, Pastor Fred knows there is still a lot of more trimming to be done in his life. But it frustrates Fred to no end that some of his people worry more about a clock than they do their own salvation or the salvation of others or just serving God in general. That Sunday has become just another rushed day in so many people's lives. How many of us would agree with that? Unfortunately, Sunday's just become another day. How many of us remember, and I do remember, that maybe a gas station was open on a Sunday morning? Maybe a pharmacy, maybe. Everything else was closed. Sunday's become just another day. And you know, especially when Fred's church, they have the attitude of it, the sermon goes over 20 minutes, the world is going to come to an end, and it almost seems Fred is going to owe them some kind of compensation for going over. Really? As I finish this little story of my friend Fred, is it possible that we all need some pruning from time to time in our own lives in order for us to produce, to be productive, to give that fruit that is needed, that is so vital for our families and our friends? You ever think about that? Why you are here? Maybe God has you have this fruit that can give, be given to so many, that is so tasteful, but we're so caught up in our own agenda that we are so afraid to give a little bit more. Maybe we need to ask God to help prune us here and there. And I cannot help and think about Jesus on that cross. What Jesus went through, the pain, the suffering, the torture. And that's what it was, torture. All that so you and I have the choice, if we so desire, to spend eternity with him. Just to give us a choice. What he went through. A choice. In John 3:17, and I love John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Would it be safe to say that most should be ashamed of ourselves at times when it comes to you and I complaining about the time we spend here on a Sunday morning or in Sunday school, in prayer, groups, Bible study? Let us just say our time with God. Can some of us say, you know what, it's kind of shameful. My time sheet sure doesn't show a whole lot of time. Hey, you know, and I can just hear it now. If we make it to heaven, there's no guarantees, you know. Satan is very good at deceiving people. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're a good person doesn't mean you're going to heaven. But my point is this. I can just hear it now. There we all are in this big seminar room in heaven. Someone yells out, "Hey, Moses, can you wrap it up? I have a gym time with Samson today in 15 minutes. We're doing chess today." What do you think it's going to be like in heaven? If we can't sit here for an hour and a half, the whole combined service, how are you going to get through eternity? Fair question, is it not? You think about that, really. Now me, I'm not a singer. And the thought of me, I want to do something else. And again, I don't know how it works. And I think it was Sally and I, or Diane, I can't remember who it was. We were talking. We hope we're on the grounds team. I'll gladly mow the grass of heaven. I'll be happy doing that. But whatever it is, I'm just going to be happy to be there, true? Because I want you to think about this. Sure does beat the alternative, does it not? Heaven is real, and guess what? Hell is real, too. I can only imagine hell. Think about how many clocks are set up in there to keep reminding you, just another minute, just another minute, there is no relief. Maybe we all need reminded from time to time just how short and precious life is, how blessed we are. Maybe we all need reminded from time to time what Jesus Christ did on that cross. This seems to be more and more plays a part in my life. For those who don't know, I got this a while back. It represents someone's life who will die in this amount of time that does not know Christ. And that's sad. But the sad thing is, it could be you. Could be your spouse, could be your loved one, could be your grandchild, your child, your best friend. You don't know. None of us know. And that has been made more apparent to me now. My eyes are even more wide open. There's no guarantees about tomorrow. Maybe, just maybe, we need to ask ourselves, is time that much of an issue when it comes to serving, when it comes to living and loving the one who gave it all on that cross? Is it really asking that much for some of your time on a Sunday morning or each night as you pray? You know, and I'm using me. It breaks my heart to think of Jesus sitting there on his throne in heaven, shaking his head in disappointment as well as frustration, asking the question, when it comes to spending time with me, Jim Manbeck, what is your hurry, my son? Now you substitute your name into that. What is your hurry, Sue? What is your hurry, Steve, Sherry? All that I did for you, and you complain about this time? Think about that. Now you can blow it off, you can walk out of here, whatever. But I pray a few of you think about that. What happened there versus us just giving up a little bit of time? As your pastor and your friend, as a man who loves you, allow me to ask you this final question this morning. What is your hurry, my friend? Amen. As the praise team comes up to sing our final song,